Welcome to Real Estate Investing for Women. On this show, you will learn how to create wealth through real estate the blissful way. That means with very little stress and very little time. We talk about strategies, mindset, heartset, money smarts, resources, and so much more to ensure you're able to create the success you most deeply desire. Now, here's your host, Monica Sawyer.
Today, I am so excited to welcome to the show, Taylor Lote. I had the pleasure of meeting Taylor recently. I was on his show. He was such a pleasure to talk to. So of course, I wanted to share him with your ladies. So Taylor is a multifamily and self-storage real estate investor. To date, he has acquired, partnered on, or had a hand in over $150 million in commercial real estate. He hosts the Passive Wealth Strategy Show, which I was on. Yay! Which helps listeners escape the Wall Street casino and build wealth on Main Street by investing in real estate while avoiding the common newbie pitfalls. Taylor, it is so good to see you again. Welcome to the show.
It's great to see you as well. Thanks for having me. I'll have to see if I can at least clip that bit out and like share it with my mom because she would love hearing what you said. So.
Make your mom proud. That's very important. Totally. 100%. Okay, so Taylor, could you give us kind of the high-level two-minute version of what brought you to real estate? Give us your story.
Sure, absolutely. So I've done a lot of thinking about this and trying to be more self-aware of what actually happened and occurred. It really was about 2015. I'd been investing in Wall Street's stuff for a while and doing pretty well because I just kind of got lucky because of my age, really, is kind of when I started making money and all that, and we were in an up market. But 2015 brought new things. The price of oil fell from $110, $120 a barrel down to like 40 something over the course of that year. And it kind of took with it a lot of the stock market. We had a lot of stagnation and that got me questioning. I was just like, maybe this isn't the right way to build wealth in the long run. And at that same time, 2015, I just so happened to read one of these books over my shoulder, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Not that copy. I read a different copy. I bought this. This is a display copy. And all those things kind of factored in together and joined together and got me thinking there's got to be a better way to build wealth. So I started learning about real estate and really hit the ground running, I suppose. And I was going to go get an MBA. I decided not doing that after reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and start investing in real estate. So that's the quick version.
Your story is so similar to mine. Got my degree, thought about getting an MBA, and decided instead to take that money and invest in real estate.
It's tough to look at the MBA. You think between salary that I'm not earning and just the cost to get the MBA, it's going to cost me $300,000, $400,000 to do this. And then I'm going to have a big pile of debt and a job I don't think I really want just to make more money. And that just didn't feel right. And Robert Kiyosaki showed me that my misgivings about that were right. And I had to go another direction.
Ladies, before we get into the meat of this episode, let's have a quick word from our sponsor. If your idea of asset protection and tax mitigation is setting up a simple LLC and family trust structure, you could be leaving your business, real estate, and personal assets completely exposed. Imagine instead being able to take advantage of the bulletproof asset protection tools formerly reserved for the ultra wealthy. If you'd like to mitigate or eliminate your capital gains taxes while protecting your assets from predatory litigation, visit blissfulinvestor.com/trusts. That's plural. There, you will find out more in a free recording with the world's foremost expert on a new kind of trust structure you've probably never heard of. This is a true generational wealth building business and personal asset protection and tax mitigation structure dating back to the founding of our country and is still used today. Just go to blissfulinvestor.com/trusts to find out more. It's free.
So how long have you been in real estate then? How long have you been investing?
I started investing in 2016. I started as a passive investor with a goal of just getting more active in the space and scaling and growing.
Okay.
And for me, it's a little bit of a hockey stick type of thing. Because for me, learning and growing as an investor, as a person, as somebody, I'm a very introverted type of person naturally. So you mentioned about getting a first degree. My first degree is in chemical engineering. I'm a nerd, right? And
got it.
I didn't spend my teens and 20s getting out there and socializing. I had friends and stuff, but I wasn't like the big man on campus. I had to go learn how to meet people at real estate networking events. I had to learn how to do things like what we're doing right now, recording a podcast, speaking to all your awesome listeners, because this is not the type of thing that I naturally gravitate toward. But to get to where I wanted to go in life, I had to learn how to do these things. I had to learn how to build a level of comfort and confidence doing these things. And that took time, but that's okay. As long as you're working and moving forward, then I think there's nothing wrong with that.
I'm with you. We're going to talk about introverts in a little bit, and I'm excited to share about that too. Do you believe one of the biggest newbie mistakes real estate investors make? Where do they go wrong?
So when we're talking about people who are new, when they say may start going to real estate networking events and trying to figure out what's out there and all these kinds of things, the biggest mistake is just not taking action and kind of parenthetically thinking that education equals action. Now, education's great. You know, I've spent a lot of money on real estate education, a lot of money, more than I ever thought I would. But you have to turn that education into action. And new real estate investors, this includes myself at the beginning, because you don't really know exactly what to do when you're getting started. So you don't know which direction to go. You're getting pulled by shiny objects, or you just can't pick a path and stick to it. I think new real estate investors, when they want to get started, they don't know where to start. Maybe they go to a networking event. They hear about the such and such a course that's going great. Maybe they buy it. Maybe they don't. But either way, if they buy it, they might not stick to that. That might not hold them down the road. They might just go buy the next program and the next program, and then eventually just kind of give up because it doesn't work. They might try for a month and then they don't get a deal in a month. Well, it took me years to get my first deal. I've continually working at it and growing, but taking action and committing to the process and stumbling, falling on your face sometimes is just kind of part of the process and something that most of us deal with at the beginning.
Yeah. It is interesting because one of the real big tenets of this show is to take action. What I was actually recently shared with by one of my guests is take mindful action. So for me, action is really about do something. So education is actually an action, but you do have to go to the next step. Also, don't get analysis paralysis. You do have to go to that next step and actually commit to a strategy and move forward towards actions toward that strategy. So it's all action. But it's a matter of like not getting stuck in any particular action either, because there's other things. Like if you are in a strategy, say for instance, you're wanting to do no money down strategies, so you're looking for lease options, so you're calling distressed sellers. Don't get so caught up in the phone calls that you don't actually close any deals. That's also getting stuck. And I think what happens, like people will, they buy a course and they're like, okay, I'm going to learn all of these scripts by heart. Well, no, you have to actually make the phone calls. And then when someone says yes, you have to actually follow up. Don't like freak out and say, oh, I'm not going to call them back. So there's baby steps in that process. It starts with education, but then you got to keep moving forward and keep moving forward, right?
Absolutely. You have to get to the point, speaking of being on the phone with people, you have to get to the point where somebody yells at you and calls you a jerk because you're trying to do this deal with them. And for whatever reason, it's just going to happen. Sorry, kind of get over it. I've been yelled at on the phone by people a few times I was trying to buy their property, but it gives me pause. I'm kind of a sensitive guy, but you got to make the next call. You got to move on to the next one. And whatever it is, whatever those hurdles are that we have to get over, absolutely. I'm never going to poo-poo education, but you have to apply it. And it's maybe you learn about wholesaling and you learn, I don't want to be a real estate wholesaler. Great. I don't want to be a real estate wholesaler either. There's nothing wrong with being a wholesaler. But if that's not your path, no problem. Just find the path that is right for you and really commit to it and move forward.
Perfect. How do you overcome the key limiting beliefs of new investors?
So that, I think, are, do you mean on an individual level, like say my own limiting beliefs?
Yeah.
My opinion is that's a daily practice. That's something that we as individuals have to work on. And I'm kind of realizing that 2015 was a very pivotal year for me, had that shift in my way that I built wealth, but also I started training Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and I still do today in the end of 2022. And I became a vegetarian in 2015, still a vegetarian. I'm marrying a vegan next year, so I'm stuck on that path too, perfectly happy with it. But in this realm, you have to constantly be challenging yourself and taking that next step and remembering that if you'd asked me in 2015, when I was a brand new at jiu-jitsu, I didn't know anything. Are you going to stick with it? Are you going to get to purple belt level, which I am now? I would have said, yeah, you know, I'm not so sure because I had those limiting beliefs in my mind. But now if you ask me if I'm going to keep progressing, absolutely. As long as I don't get injured, as long as I can keep going and training, I'm going to keep pushing forward. But it's only because I've continued to press through all of those various beliefs. The first time that you do something in real estate investing, like for me, now I work with a lot of passive investors. The first couple of phone calls, for example, that I had with passive investors really scared me, but you have to do it. There's always the first one, whatever it is, the first offer that you make, the first property you get under contract, the first investor who wires you money. Now I have $100,000 of this guy's money and I have to put that money ahead of my own. Oh man, that's scary. But that first one is what really gets you going and starts the fire. And right now, getting toward the end, I'm not exactly sure what day I'm on, but if you're familiar with this thing going around called 75 Hard, I don't know if your listeners have heard of that. It's put out by this guy named Andy Frizzella. It's about cultivating discipline in your own life. And there are a few things that you're required to do every day. It's 75 days. You're required to follow a diet. He doesn't tell you what one to follow. He says you got to pick it and stick to it. It's great. You got to pick it and stick to it. You have to exercise twice a day. And one of those exercises, one of those workouts has to be outside. You have to drink a gallon of water a day. I have my gallon jug right here and fill up my Yeti tumbler. There's a few other things you have to do. You have to take a cold shower every day for 5 minutes. I don't like the cold showers. The rest of the stuff I can handle. I still hate the cold showers. You also can't drink if you like alcohol. I like whiskey, but I'm not drinking because I'm stuck to the program. If you miss one thing, got to start back again at day one. I had actually tried this. You also have to take a picture of yourself shirtless every day for 75 days. Now, those pictures of me are never going to see the light of day. My fiance doesn't see them. They're only for me. But I actually tried this program last year, and I think I made it probably 3 or 4 days. I'm not sure exactly what I missed. Maybe it was a cold shower, maybe something else. I don't really remember. But I know in my mind, I had a limiting belief when I got started about whether I could actually accomplish it. Now, I'm not at the end of the program now, right? The jury is out. I haven't actually completed it, but I'm significantly further today than I got last year. And I didn't have the same level of limiting beliefs, whether I could stick to my diet or work out twice a day, one of them outside. I mean, it's hard to fit this stuff into your schedule. That's a lot of time. And the cold showers really stink, but that one's, I can get done. I don't enjoy it. But really, it comes down to putting one foot in front of the other. And if and when you quote unquote fail, if you don't meet your own expectations, and most of the time we don't meet our own expectations because we didn't take the right actions. We kind of knew it at the time. Like you have an email to respond to from somebody, or you got a call from a potential seller and you're just putting off calling them back. You need to take that action, because even if this deal that you're working on doesn't go anywhere, you need to have that process in your mind, that mentality, that mindset of, I'm going to take the action on whatever this thing is. And I think it's really comes down to just cultivating that in your life as much as you can.
I love your whole attitude about possible failure. I like to call it more like trial and error rather than failure, because failure feels bad. And you know what? A lot of people are like, try is such a weak word. Like, I'm going to try, right? No, it's, I don't mean it that way. What I do mean is, we set a goal, and if we're not able to get to the end, the very end of that goal, to reach it, examining along the way with kind of this beginner's mind or gamer's mind, maybe, of what was it that I did wrong, or that I was not committed to, or that I did not do right? How can I get better at this? And I love the fact that you brought in something so personal, because that's where we practice. In business, we feel like the stakes are so high, and they're not. They're not actually any higher than in personal development. Personal development, the results are significantly more impactful in your life, but they don't feel as scary necessarily as in business. And so I love that you're practicing this sort of ability to create goals, pursue those goals, re-examine where the errors happened, and pursue again. So there's no real failure. There's just evolution and success. And I love the way that you did that. And then we can take those skills and move them into our business practices. Now, when we're on the phone with somebody else or we're taking somebody else's money, I know it's scarier, but you've started to develop that skill set required for kind of having that gamer's mind. Like, what is this adventure going to bring? How can I become a better person? How can I do this better? So I just love that approach that you explained. We've never really had anybody talk about like this deep personal goal setting journey the way you just did.
I'm glad to share what I've learned. And I'll be honest, I don't mean to put myself as somebody who is super disciplined all the time. I'll give you an example. Earlier this year, this late spring, actually, I got injured in jiu-jitsu. I broke a couple of ribs or maybe severely dislocated them. I had a pretty bad rib injury. And if you get a rib injury, you can't breathe. You can't pick stuff up. You definitely can't do jiu-jitsu. So I ended up taking about 3 months off of not training. And when you have a rib injury, you can't do anything. You can't lift weights. Eventually, I started doing some jump rope outside and trying to keep my cardio going, but it was hard. I was sitting around. I can't do my favorite thing, which is exercise really in any way. So my diet slipped, my mindset slipped a bit, and I put on a little bit of weight, only 5 or 6 pounds, and it's off now. I got it off now. But I think if we see life as like a process of learning and continuously developing and then seeing when we've stumbled and trying to get ourselves back on track, not all at once, but day by day, what are the steps that I can take to get myself back on the path where I want to be with whatever our goals in life are? To me, that's just kind of how life needs to work in order to be fulfilled and consistently learning and growing and recognizing that we're not always going to perform to our best expectations. Things are going to come up in life, but when we can recognize that, say, hey, I'm not performing as well as I can, how can I get myself back on track? I think that's really what it takes to grow over the long term. And of course, build wealth, but grow as a person as well, which is almost more important. Totally. Taking financial risks or quote unquote risk, we can mitigate them as much as we can, but there's always risk involved or putting yourself out there. People say that public speaking is one of most people's most feared activities. You're more afraid of public speaking than you are of dying. And Jerry Seinfeld has a really good joke about this. You'd rather be the guy in the casket than the one giving the eulogy.
Exactly.
And that's not something that I want to do. When I was a kid growing up and you had to speak in front of the class, I hated it. I didn't get any joy out of that. But to get where I want to be, I have to kind of learn how to work through that. And truthfully, I don't enjoy it, but it's easier, quote unquote. It's less mentally taxing when you can focus on providing value to the audience, when you can practice a bunch of times. That's really, frankly, my method when I have to do public speaking is just practice, practice, practice until I'm not worried about what I'm going to say. I can focus on providing value to the audience. But that's kind of the process, is getting over our fears progressively, however it applies to our real estate investing. It's just huge, just fears and limiting beliefs and dealing with them.
You mentioned earlier that you're an introvert and that you've had to get kind of develop skills to have that not be a negative. And I will just say this, that I too am an introvert. Nobody ever believes me when I say that, but I'm not a very outgoing person. I actually was just at a really big real estate event down in Southern California this last weekend. And I realized there was so many missed opportunities there because I just sat with my friends that I really wanted to connect with. That to me is what fills me up, is like real conversations with people that I care about and want to get to know more. I'm not the person that's a really, really good networker. And so there were so many missed opportunities. However, it was the thing that made it even possible for me to be there, is I decided I was going to meet 2 or 3 new people and that I had the right to the people that I was going there with. I didn't know that well, so I could build those relationships deeper. So I'm all about deep relationships, and I am not the best networker, and I do terrible in groups. Like if I'm in a room of a lot of people, I completely shrivel up. So those are kind of characteristics of an introvert, and it has never held me back. And I'd love to hear your perspective on that, because you say you're sort of the same way. We don't hear a lot of that in this real estate world, right?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we don't hear people really talking about it, because I think in many ways, people kind of perceive it, and this is maybe changing societally, but people kind of perceive introversion as being antisocial or just generally less good at business, if you will, less good of an investor because you don't get energy out of networking with 50 people at a networking event. I don't particularly enjoy that myself, but if you can focus on what you are good at, and frankly, sometimes you have to do things that you don't really like to do. So at least for me, like sometimes you got to get out there and network and deal with it in your own way, whatever makes sense for you. So for myself, if I am at a real estate networking event, particularly a big conference, you know, sometimes I, after talking with a bunch of people, trying to build connections with people, I have to step away for a little while and just take 5, 10, 15 minutes, however long, to myself to kind of get myself back centered, trying to regain some energy, whatever it is. I got to check out for a few minutes and maybe I'll take some time to digitize some business cards or try to be productive with that time checked away. But that's so that I can come back to the event with the energy that I need to have. I'm not going to be there forever, right? These events are probably typically 2 days, sometimes 3 days. So I can deal with it for that long. Another in the personal life, so I said a bunch of personal life stuff here anyway. So my fiance and I, we've actually known each other for quite a while. And we knew each other for a few years before we ever went on our first date. We met at jiu-jitsu. She started not too long after I did. And we knew each other at kind of just a names level. And that's how I pretty much used to know everybody at jiu-jitsu. And I've changed that over time as I've worked this muscle of building connections with people. I've seen that as a valuable muscle. It's great to get to know people. And then years ago now, when on our first date, she actually asked me out. You actually connected. We learn how much we have in common and get to know each other on a deeper level. And it just went from there, and great and very happy. But at that point, we'd probably known each other for in passing for 3 years or so. And that's to the point where we'd seen each other 3 or 4 times a week, almost every week for years. But my natural tendency is not to strike up conversations, especially with women at the gym. That's not who I am. Again, she asked me out. I wasn't asking out women at the gym, but that's kind of just my natural tendency. I'm not there to meet people. I'm there to exercise and get to know the sport. And now I see the value in a real estate world when I'm there. And that's how I've built a lot of connections with many of my investors. But really what I'm getting at is that we can succeed in real estate too. And I think there's just more understanding of that growing in the culture. And there are more knowledge bases, more strategies out there available to learn from. There are quite a few very good guides for introverted real estate investors to build connections at real estate networking events that are out there. And I've had one gentleman in particular on my show in the past that trains introverts on how to succeed in networking and sales with kind of an angle into real estate investing. And his name actually doesn't, Matthew Pollard, I just got it. Definitely recommend checking out his content. I've got a few of his books on my phone. But really suffice to say that it can be done for those of us who are introverts. We just have to use strategies that work for us and you, whatever our particular real estate investing niche is, you can find a way.
Yeah. So one of the things about creating a blissful real estate business is to build that business based on your strengths and who you really are. And you already said this, rather than trying to fight who you are and try to be something that you're not and build a business on that, because it's not sustainable. We do grow, but you don't want it to be so painful that it stops you. And I say frequently on this show, there's a million ways to make $1 million in real estate. Pick one that's aligned with your strengths and it's not dependent on the things that you're weak on. So if I'm weak on networking, I don't want to build a business that's completely dependent on networking. It doesn't mean that I shouldn't grow in that way, in that skill. I shouldn't network. I shouldn't push myself, but I don't want my business to be completely dependent on that until I build some confidence there. So build a different business, at least to start. And it's possible. Like I say, there's a million ways to make $1 million in real estate. There are so many ways to make money in real estate being an introvert. You don't have to be what people perceive as what real estate success looks like. So I just love having this conversation because I think there's so many of my listeners that must be introverts and think, I can't network. But you can. It'll be a skill that you need to develop, but then don't have your starter business be completely dependent on that. Pick something else. There's many different strategies, right?
Absolutely. Totally agree. We can do it. You just need to find the route that works for you and build and learn over time.
Exactly. Taylor, could you tell everybody how they can reach you? And I know you've got a really awesome free gift.
Yeah, absolutely. So my show, which you've been on, thank you for coming on, is the Passive Wealth Strategy Show, where we teach our listeners how to escape the Wall Street casino and build wealth on Main Street by investing in real estate. New episodes every Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. We also have a free video course on red flags in passive real estate investing. So personally, I invest in multifamily and self-storage syndications and do multifamily and self-storage syndications and actively, you know, raise money for these deals from passive investors. And I get a lot of questions from passive investors about good things to look for in a syndication. So we made the video course of 7 things that I've seen go wrong in many deals across the board. You spend enough time, again, to get back to networking in this space, spend enough time networking and getting to know people one-on-one in private conversations, non-recorded conversations. People will tell you so much. You just ask them and let them run. Tell you so much about what went wrong with their deals. And you spend 7 years in the business like I've had, and hopefully many more, you start to see some trends and things that can go wrong. So you can get that course at passiverealestatecourse.com, totally free. And my company is NT Capital at ntcapitalgroup.com. You can look us up there as well.
Perfect. And all of those URLs will be in the show notes, ladies, so you can look it up there. I am really intrigued by the idea of the red flags. What I'm wondering is, I know that you said in the green room that there are 7. Could we do a deep dive, like the biggest, maybe 1 or 2, do like a really deep dive, what you've learned about them in extra? Would that work for you?
That would be great.
Perfect. We'll do a deep dive on 1 or 2 deep red flags that you should be looking for when you're looking at investing with a syndicator. And I just want to highlight that Taylor is a syndicator. He is looking for investors. And so if you like what he has to say, definitely reach out to him regarding that also. Taylor, are you ready for our 3 rapid fire questions?
Let's go.
Okay. Give us 1 super tip getting started in real estate investing.
Know your why. Why are you here? What are you committed to achieving? And not, I want to go buy real estate. I want to go build cash flow. Those are great. We'll get there. But start with why, the deep reason you're here. Is it that you want to create a retirement for yourself? You want to fuel your own retirement? Is that you want to send your kids to college, pay for your kids to go to college? Is that you want to be prepared as your parents get older? You want to have the finances to make sure you can take care of them? Whatever it is for you, you want to travel more. I'm not here to tell you what your goal should be. I'm just here to tell you that you should know what it is, because it's going to help push you through tough times when you get on the phone with somebody and they just don't want to talk to you, telling you how much of a jerk you are. Well, that why is going to help you make the next phone call.
Perfect. And what is 1 strategy on being successful as a real estate investor?
I think it comes down to every day. A lot of people talk about having a morning practice in your life. Every day, thinking about your goals. Honestly, one of the best tools that I got from a coach who I paid a lot of money to give me this tool, but this is actually a free thing you can find on YouTube. Just go look up Earl Nightingale, The Strangest Secret. It's awesome. I listen to it all the time, over and over again. Really, it comes down to our lives, our experiences, our success is it's shaped by the thoughts in our head. Are we having positive thoughts? Are we having negative thoughts? Are we always focusing on the bad things? Well, then we're only going to notice the bad things. We're only going to notice the negative. If we focus on the positive, the good things, the opportunity, what we can go out and achieve, then we're just more likely to go do it and achieve those things. And definitely recommend looking that up and listening to it.
Perfect. And then what is 1 daily practice that you do, Taylor, that you would say contributes to your personal success?
So I've been since for a bit over a decade, probably 11, 12 years or so, I've done intermittent fasting every day. And I'll be honest, it's kind of come and gone in my life as life gets in the way sometimes. But here and there, I kind of fall off the track, whatever, something happens and you fall off. But lately, this year, I've been sticking with 16-8. So 16 hours, I don't eat anything. I drink coffee, right? I love coffee, drink water, but I only eat meals 8 hours a day. And for me, that helps. I'm not here to say that's right for anybody else. But there's just something to it that it helps me just like focus on my goals. I've also, last year, I did a phase where I was eating 1 meal a day after I get home from jujitsu. So I hadn't eaten anything for 22, 23 hours. And then I go do an hour of jujitsu and get home and just be so hungry. But the first meal was so good. Wouldn't necessarily recommend that. I'm not doing that right now. But just thinking about that every day, it just helps me eat healthfully. Like I said earlier, I'm a vegetarian. But there's a lot of crappy vegetarian food out there. Just because I'm a vegetarian doesn't mean I only eat vegetables. Definitely don't all the time. But just doing that every day, just really helps me. And plus, I'm in my 30s. I'm getting older, right? Weight management, health management, that's first. I'm going to butcher this quote. I hope I'm not going too long here, but I also like listening to Tony Robbins. Somebody who's healthy has a million goals. Somebody who's unhealthy, somebody who's sick, somebody who has a few months left to live, they have one goal. And I think if we can focus on keeping ourselves healthy, we can keep going after those million goals. Like I said, I'm in my 30s. My grandfather, who I'm told I'm a spitting resemblance of, I never met him. He died in his 50s. And I'm thinking, if I'm following his track, that means I'm over halfway done. I got to really take care of myself, right?
Yeah.
No, I'm sticking with it. But I think that's super important. It all starts with taking care of your body.
I love that. Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for all that you've offered on this portion of the show, Taylor.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And ladies, stay tuned. We're going to be talking about passive investing red flags in Extras. So if you are subscribed to Extras, stay tuned. If you're not, go to realestateinvestingforwomenextra.com and you can sign up there. For those of you that are leaving Taylor and I now, thank you so much for joining us for this portion of the show. I look forward to seeing you next time. And until then, remember, goals without action are just dreams. So get out there, take action, and create the life your heart deeply desires. I'll see you soon. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you'd like to find out more about how to become a blissful millionaire, go to blissfulinvestor.com. See you next time.